Let's open the scriptures together, firstly to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then secondly from back to the book of Job, Job chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is our first reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 3. I'm going to read here about the comfort that we receive through the Lord Jesus and that comfort that we can share with others. Let's read God's word together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Let's turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Job, just before the book of Psalms, to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2, and we read from verse 11. I heard of a Puritan preacher, by the way, who preached on the book of Job. He did a series on the book of Job, and it took about 7 or 8 years. We're not going to take that long. And it's hard to imagine how somebody could take that long to preach through the book of Job, since most of it's heresy. We'll come to that in a moment. Not today. Job chapter 2, we read just three verses, the last three verses in chapter 2. Job has suffered, he has lost his possessions, he's lost his family, he's now suffering himself, his own health. He's got a wife who wants him to curse God and give up. Job isn't like that. And yet he's struggling. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud. And they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. This is the word of God. How do I help someone who's hurting? How can you be used by God to bring comfort into their lives? And I'm starting by making an assumption this afternoon. I'm making an assumption that you want to be able to do this. You want to be able to help someone who is hurting. You want to be able to comfort someone who is suffering. An assumption that you want to know how to grieve with those who grieve. An assumption that not only would you like to be comforted by others when they're in distress, but that you in turn would like to be comforted by other people when you're the one who's suffering. But faced with that situation, faced with hearing of bad news in the life of a friend, a child, a church member, don't you feel somewhat out on a limb? Don't you feel somewhat inadequate for the task? That's the reason why you feel inadequate, is because this isn't a hypothetical situation all of a sudden. This is real pain. It's not just like baking a cake. You take the ingredients and you measure them out, you stir them together, you put them in the oven. To bake a cake is easy by comparison. The egg isn't upset that it's being cracked open raw. The milk isn't sour. The cake doesn't mind the heat of the oven. But when someone is suffering, that's a real person out there. And there are emotions, there is anguish, there is pain. And deep down you want to be able to help. But you wonder how you can. You would love to be able to make a difference, a positive, a helpful difference in the life of that other person. You'd like to be able to give brotherly comfort or sisterly comfort. What do we learn about how we might do that this afternoon from the example of Job's friends? Well, the first thing we see is that brotherly comfort involves sacrifice. It involves sacrifice. Look at the opening phrase there in chapter 2 and verse 11. When Job's three friends, these fellows with unusual names, as we would say, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. And the text isn't saying that these are Job's only friends, but obviously these three are close to him. News reaches them of Job's troubles. Job was a famous man. He was known throughout the Eastern world at that time. There's no email and phone calls, of course, so we can assume some time has passed. The messengers have come. Remember, Job's an important person, the greatest man amongst all the people of the East, we were told earlier in the book. Job's demise is a newsworthy event. Everyone is talking about it. Have you heard what happened to Job? All these things happened. The three friends are some distance away. This is not the next door neighbor who's in trouble. Our best guesses, and they are but guesses, would place them perhaps several hundred miles away from each other and from Job himself. Independently, they hear the news, the news of all the troubles that had come upon him. Literally, they hear of the evil that had come upon Job. And their first instinct is to seek to help him. They help their friend. They want to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. Despite living some distance apart, they coordinate a plan together. Messages are passed between them, perhaps on horseback or on camelback. They are talking together as friends about Job, their friend. Sometimes, as you know, people talk to one another about the troubles they see someone else experiencing. But there are people who do that who are not trying to help. They are just enjoying passing along gossip. Not these friends. They are true friends. They are seeking wise counsel together. How can we best help our friend Job? They ask one another. And after taking counsel together, they decide on this course of action together. They decide to go and meet Job together. Their example, of course, isn't intended to suggest that we should never visit someone alone, just us and them. But perhaps they feel the calamity, the extent of the calamity that Job has experienced, feels beyond them. What will I do? What will I say? Let's go together to support one another as we support Job. What we see in this example of Job's three friends is an example of sacrifice. For a start, this comfort-giving business costs them something. In their agreement to go and meet together and go to Job, they're traveling a great distance. They leave behind their families. They leave behind their other responsibilities. They give up other things that perhaps in many ways they would rather be doing. But they give those things up willingly because they're friends. They're true friends. Friends are made for adversity, says the book of Proverbs. A friend in need, as a friend indeed. But they sacrifice in some sense just by their willingness to meet with Job. I mean, ask yourself this question. Is it going to be easy to visit with someone who has experienced such great loss? Is it going to be easy? No, not at all. But they recognize that our very presence is a great gift. We can sometimes be tempted to avoid other people when they're suffering, when they're hurting. It's certainly the easiest thing to do. But our Lord Jesus would have us sacrifice our ease for their good. Our Saviour, after all, is the one who sacrificed the glory of heaven to come down into this world, to come down to identify with us in our suffering, to suffer himself that he might rise from the dead and send us even the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to be our comforter. The Lord Jesus, who calls you to sacrifice for the needs of others who are suffering, is no stranger to sacrifice himself. He leads by example. So Job's friends willingly make a sacrifice of time, of cost, of whatever else they might prefer to do. They intentionally meet with a friend who is hurting. They might have opportunity to extend comfort to their friend. They sacrifice. Here's the second thing we see in the example of the three friends. We see identification. Continuing in verses 11 and on into verse 12, they wanted to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. That's how bad he looked. They could hardly recognize him and began to weep aloud, tore their robes, and they sprinkled dust on their head. In other words, they begin the task they set out to do. That is, to sympathize and to comfort. And they did so by identifying with Job in his suffering. The Hebrew words used here convey the sense of shaking and swaying, of panting and groaning. And I mention that because I want us to see what Job's friends are feeling as they come to bring comfort. They're not emotionally detached or aloof from the situation. Rather, Job's friends identify with him in his suffering. They feel his pain. They cry tears with him. And they express their grief the way in which people in Job's society expressed grief. In our society, we do things a little bit differently. But we express grief in that way. People driving from the church to the cemetery, for example, they switch their headlights on, don't they? They let others know that they are part of the procession. It's one small way, tiny way, but it is a way that we identify with a family who has lost a loved one. We are part of this. We are part of this. Another way we express grief is in the clothes that we wear, or identify with grief is in the clothes that we wear. And go to a funeral in bare feet and beach shorts and a singlet top. You don't do that. Traditionally in our society, or at least in times past, you'd wear the colour black, wouldn't you? To express sorrow and grief. To identify with those who are grieving. This is a black day. A hard day. Well, in Job's society, you expressed grief, but you expressed it in different ways. You tore your robes. You tore your clothes. You sprinkled dust on your head. And so by their action, Job's friends were saying to him, letting him know that they were hurting with him. They identified with him in his pain. They were partners with him in his suffering. Job, you're not alone. We are in this together. We are here for you. We will walk with you through the valley of the shadow. The way you express, identify with those who are suffering, that's going to vary from person to person. Some people couldn't shed a tear even if you paid them. Others couldn't stop for all the tea in China. The Bible doesn't tell us how we are to identify with those who are suffering. Each of us are different. It may be tears for you. It may be an arm around the shoulder. It may be a squeeze. It might be something else. But it must be something. But can I identify with suffering, you might ask, when I've never experienced anything like it myself? And the answer is yes. Although obviously when you have suffered, you will find it easier. Come back to that passage in 2 Corinthians we read before, 2 Corinthians 1. God comforts us in all our sorrows. God comforts us. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And you may not have suffered in the same way, but you know what it's like to experience loss and pain. There's no indication that Job's friends had had anything as terrifically severe as Job's sufferings happened to them before in their lives. But living in a fallen and broken world, each of us experience the effects of the fall, the effects of that brokenness. And the fact that someone else has experienced fallen brokenness in a different way than you have doesn't mean that you can't identify with someone else in their suffering and provide genuine sympathy and comfort. I know a couple who had just found out that they could never have children. They were visited in hospital by a couple who had three children. And that visiting couple said, "We can't understand the depths of what it must be like for you to go through this. But we love you and we're here for you." And that made all the difference. Made all the difference. Is it painful to identify with those around you who are in situations where they need comfort? Yes, it can be painful. If you never feel, if you never love, then you can never get hurt. This is part of the risk of love, the risk of seeking to provide comfort. It is a risk. But it's the Christ-like thing. We have a Savior who sympathizes and identifies with us in our sorrows. And in Jesus' name, we go forth as His people to identify with others in their sorrow and their grief, to feel with them, to love them. In short, we go forth to show love. Comfort involves sacrifice, involves identifying with and sharing the pain and the hurt. And then there's one final aspect of showing brotherly comfort that we find in our text. It's silence. And they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Congregation, this is Job's friends at their very best. As we'll see next week, when they open their mouths to speak, that they start leading Job astray. But for now, they're just there. Their presence is enough. That's all that's needed. They're silent. Most of us find silence hard to cope with. Silence leaves us alone with our thoughts. Nothing to fill the void. If we were to pause in silence for a few minutes right now to allow for reflection, some might find that awkward. If you find silence difficult to cope with during times of group prayer, when everyone's sharing together in prayer and you're wondering if somebody else is going to pray and it's just really silent and it's awkward. If you find silence difficult, rather than treasuring silence as an opportunity to meditate and to think before speaking. Silence, as it is here, is often exactly the right gift to give to someone who's suffering. Not because words can't bring comfort, because they can. And the intention of 2 Corinthians 1 that we read before is that we would share gospel truth with one another and be comforted through that. So why is silence good? Well, for a start, because the Bible tells us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Many people get the emphasis on listening and speaking around the wrong way. They kind of get it around the wrong way, and they think the Bible is saying that they should be quick to speak and slow to listen. Well, at least that's what people do. We can be quick to speak, slow to listen. We can make assumptions. We can jump to conclusions that just aren't true. Another reason to be silent could be because, although we might like to be able to help someone to see why they might be experiencing suffering, we don't know the answer. Could be a terminal illness. Could be a rebellious child. Could be unemployment. It could be a relationship breakdown. We don't know why. Job's friends do a good job when they're silent. It's only when they begin to speak and tell Job why he's suffering that they go wrong. Silence. When we began this afternoon, I made an assumption, didn't I? Made an assumption that you want to be able to help out someone who is suffering. And perhaps your first reaction was, yes, I would like to do that, but I don't know the words to say. To which I'd say, okay, don't say any words. Don't say any words for a time. Just make the sacrifice of being there. Identify with your brother or your sister in their grief. Be silent. Listen, and only after careful reflection begin to speak. And if we would act in this manner, in these ways, we will bear one another's burdens. We will be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. We'll be able to comfort others with our hope in Christ, with a sure and steadfast hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, may we be a people of compassion. May we be a comforting people, walking in the footsteps of the Lord and living a life of love. Amen.